Citation number 16727, Reverend J. Brooker, Reel 1.
Reverend Brooker, Reel 1.
When and where were you born, Reverend Brooker?
In London, Shepherd's Bush, on November the 18th, 1919.
How many was there in the family?
Three of us lived out of seven of the children, a mother and father.
What did your father do?
Chimney sweep. Master chimney sweep.
Did your mother work?
Not to my knowledge. She did previously, yes, as a laundry. She had a laundry in a place in Acton. But when I was born, she didn't. Of course, there were too many of us.
What was the area like that you lived in?
Shepherd's Bush, working class, typical working class suburb of London. In fact, it's quite more or less the same as ourselves.
The house you lived in was at the street?
No, we lived in a downstairs flat, basement flat. Two rooms and a room upstairs.
What was life like at that time for you as a growing child?
Well, my parents looked after us very, very well. We didn't have any holidays or any luxuries, but we lived in the old typical working class fashion.
And did your father, was he reasonably well paid in relation to the work that was going on in the neighbourhood at that time with other people?
Oh, about the same as everyone else. It's a typical working class wage. I can't remember what it was, but he used to start out early in the morning and finish about 1 o'clock, come home and have a good wash in a hip bath, like the miners do, and then he'd have a sleep, because he'd been out so early.
Discipline in the home, what was that like?
Oh, he was an ex-sergeant in the Air Force, in the Army, regular soldier, so you can imagine what the discipline was like. In fact, I can remember my mother chasing us around. I can't remember ever using it, but I can remember her chasing us around with a copper stick. When we didn't do as we were told. No, my father was an ex-army boxer too. So he didn't... Discipline was harsh but fair.
Which regiment did he serve in?
He was artillery, Royal Artillery.
And had he been through the First World War?
Oh, before that he was in Northern Ireland during the Boer War. Regular soldier. And First World War, he was called up again. He was on reserve. And he went right through. He won the MM Military Medal. I had an uncle with two Military Medals as well, his brother. He didn't talk much about it. But he was in Kitchener's Contemptible Little Army, of course. And his once he came out afterwards, of course, he reverted to the family business, which was chimney sweeping. My grandfather and uncles and all that all stayed in that business.
What number were you in the family itself?
There were three older and three younger. I was the middle one. And I got a brother 6 years younger than me. He was the last but one. Or was he the last? I can't remember now. I was the first boy. The others in front of me were girls. I've got an elder sister, 2 years older than me, living in Newcastle.
What kind of leisure activities did you get up to as a family and as a child?
Not a lot of us as a family, because my father did have a little pony and trap. And we used to go riding because of course he had a horse and cart for his work, and we used to go out for afternoon dues, visiting and things like that. But occasionally, perhaps we would go to Southend-on-Sea by train for a day. But I had no holidays until, our first holidays, I was about 8 or 9. And that was with what we call the Country Holiday Fund. It was a fund that was funded by the London people to take the poorer people out for a holiday somewhere in the country. And we did that for about three or four years. And then I joined the junior reserve of the Boys Brigade, the Life Boys, moved up into the Boys Brigade, and of course went to camp year after year after that with them. Paid in weekly, you know, so much a week. And that was our holiday.
Were your parents religious people, churchgoers, chapelgoers?
No. No, but they always sent us to Sunday school. Methodist Sunday school. We had to go every Sunday. Morning and afternoon in those days. My mother was a Church of England, and we were christened in a Church of England, but my father was not a churchgoer at all. Whether he was a believer or not, I wouldn't know, but I know my mother was.
Did you enjoy the Life Guards and the Boys Brigade?
Life Boys. It's from 9 to 12. Yes, I did. I used to love that. Then, of course, I went up to the Boys Brigade. And through for 6 years, I got to the rank of sergeant, played in the band, silver band, played a trombone, we had a silver band, played at the Albert Hall 3 years running. What else? Played at Wembley, played at the artillery, Edwin's, where's that, at, can't remember. Used to play football a lot. I played football on weekends for the school in the morning, boys' brigade in the afternoon, and the men's team when I was still in the brigade and still at school on Sunday mornings, after going to Bible class until the company captain found out that got scotched. I'm suffering from football now, to be quite frank. Toenails. Then when my time was up with it, I became a staff sergeant. Shortly after that, I met someone that was starting another company at a Baptist church, trained at the same, and I went there and helped them out. I was there till the war broke out, and we all got called up, so I don't know whether it's still running now.
Do you remember the titles of the various companies that you were in?
Yes, I was the company I served in at the point was the 2nd Hammersmith. That was still Shepherd's Bush, but Shepherd's Bush was part of the borough of Hammersmith, you see. It was the 2nd Hammersmith, and then I went and started one which that was the 17th West Middlesex at East Acton. Then, of course, war broke out.
Was it, were there military kind of establishments?
Oh, no. Religious. Attached to churches.
Did you do some forms of drill?
Oh, yes. You had that drill, gymnastics, band, club, and, of course, the football. I think that was about it. In fact, I spent 41 years in the Boys' Brigade, from the age of 9 to the age of 50. Anyway, that's another story. The other part of it is education. Well, we naturally went to the local elementary school, took the 11 plus, and I went then from there to West Kensington Central School, which was one of the crack schools in the.
What did they call the first school you went to?
Victoria. School.
Would this be at the age of 5, infants?
Oh yes. Yeah. In fact, we started at 3. The age of 3 until the age of 11. And the various stages of school. There was infants, junior, and the senior school.
And you'd have various examination hurdles on the way through?
Well, yes, internal ones. actually, at one stage, I was a year ahead of my class and put into another class with older boys because we'd done so well. It's two of us. We'd done so well in our exams. Then, as I say, I took the 11th class and went to West Kensington Central School, and I played in the football teams almost right the way through. They had five football teams. And I remember playing in the semi-final of the Lipton Trophy. That's the All-London Scores. A big trophy, that stands for. And we got beaten by the eventual winners, who won the final 6-0 after playing us three times. There it is.
Did you enjoy school?
Yes, I think I did. And I took the Cambridge Syndicate examination while I was there at the age of 15. And then I went out to work. I got a job at a local shop, Platt's Furniture Gallery, as they were known, in the office doing the accounts. And unfortunately, I had to work Saturdays. No one was so happy about that. So I changed my job and went to Cheeseborough's, the Vaseline people, now known as Cheeseborough Ponds. And I was with them right until the war broke out.
Which again, this is the financial side of the company.
Yes.
Accountancy.
In the office, yes. In fact, I was traffic manager at 19, in charge of the traffic department.
But what was your first pay?
First pay at Platt's was £1 a week. The first pay at Cheeseburgs was 22 and 6 a week. And by the time war broke out, I was getting £2.10.
And this money supplemented the family income, did it?
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, when war broke out, I'd forgotten. I went out as a rep on the road in the London area. It was a lot younger. It was 17 when I became, I think, a traffic manager in charge of traffic. And it was, I'm not sure, it was 18 or 19 when I went out on the road as a rep.
And then, did you work long hours?
Not with Cheeseburgers, but with Platt's, yes. Very long hours. It was 9 to 6, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 9 to 1, Friday, 9 to 8, Saturday, 9 to 9, for £1 a week.
What little leisure time you had, how did you take that up?
Well, Boys Brigade, of course, and football. That was all, mostly. I can't think of any other sort of thing we used to do. Occasionally go to the pitches, but that was while I was still at school. I remember going, seeing films like King Kong when we were kiddies. That was good. And others like that. I'm talking about now the early 30s and in my sort of early teens.
With the war coming, were there signs? Did you understand that something was happening abroad that may influence your life?
Oh, yes. I kept in touch. I used to keep in touch with, in fact, I used to have the paper and my own paper. I used to take the telegraph in those days. And I knew that war was imminent. I mean, you couldn't miss it because everyone was talking about it. And not only that, National Service had already started. I didn't volunteer. I was caught up in National Service with the 20s and 22s.
Where were you the day war was declared? Do you recall?
Yes, at church. This little Baptist church. And I can remember someone coming in saying, "War is declared." Not a word. We just carried on with the service. And then, of course, afterwards, you can imagine. And I think the siren sounded a little shortly after that, the first time.
Were there fears that it would be similar to the First World War?
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. I couldn't be sure. I don't think he really had any thoughts of it that time.
Parents must have been concerned, though. They'd come through the First World War, And here they are, you know, sons of your age, may well be embroiled in this one. Did they show that concern in your home? Your father, of course, with his military background.
I don't know, to be quite frank. I always remember him telling me when I was a younger kid, he had to do you good to have another war. When I didn't behave myself, of course. My mother worried. I think he must have worried, because although he was ex-army, he would keep it under. Actually, he became he was in his 60s then, and he became oh dear, what do they call him? He joined the ARP and became fire watcher. That was it, fire watcher for fire, any bombs falling or anything like that.
Was there a fear of bombing on a large scale?
Not at that stage. No, it wasn't until, of course, after Dunkirk, when all this happened. In fact, that was a funny thing. I was, as I say, I was in the Royal Fusiliers then. I was called up. I had my calling up papers Christmas Eve 1939. And I went to, where was it? Harpenden. On the 17th of January 1940, that's when I was called up. But we were on our way to France when Dunkirk occurred. We were on our way to Tilbury to go across. And we stopped at Braintree. And of course, after that, all over the show. But of course, when the bombing started, and of course we had the few against the Germans, there was an outcry for volunteers from the army to go into the Air Force as pilots. And I was one of the volunteers. And I believe 300 volunteered for our battalion. There were four of us accepted. This, we waited patiently, expectantly, and everything else. And then later on we found they'd had enough. And I said to the battalion, they got enough. So I remember saying to my wife, I'm going to volunteer for the next thing that comes along.
Before we get to that, can we look at the process of joining the army as a conscript? What was that process?
Very strange. Because what happened, I tried to join the territorials to be with a friend of mine in the artillery, like my father. But the local territorial unit was full, so I couldn't go, so I waited for the doings. Apprehensive, yet strange life, coming out of home. I'd never been away, really away before, to any length of time, and apart from camp. And then having to come down to rock bottom and start as a fusilier in the Royal Fusiliers. I can always remember problems with them stoking up the boilers and all that. We went to private houses, which were commandeered, and we lived in those houses until we joined the battalion. That was at Totteridge. We joined the battalion at Harpenden.
So you got your calling up papers, the letter that came and informed you. You'd have a medical at some point?
Oh, we had that previously. I had my medical, I think, in November.
Which is quite a good one. Did they check everything?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, that was really, you know, to decide whether you... where you go. I said I wanted to go in the artillery corps. Went to the infantry, which wasn't very pleasing.
they asked you where you want to go, and you said the artillery. Then was that when your letter came? You said the infantry. Yeah. Was that the usual thing?
No, you didn't get a choice. I wanted to go in the artillery, but as I say, you don't get any choice. They just push you into wherever you're needed.
What date did you join? Actually, join the
17th of January, 1940.
Do you recall the reception you had?
Yes, at Liverpool Street Station. Not really. Your names were called and you were checked up. Went in into buses and bussed out to Totteridge. And there you were put into training squads. I think there were about 30 in each squad, about 120 of us. And under regular sergeants and NCOs. And that's when they put us through it.
Uniform, when did you get that?
Oh, a couple of days. But
what was the process of giving it out to you?
I don't remember, to be quite frank. I don't remember. I do remember the training, though. It was a very, very hard winter.
So this was your basic training?
Mm-hmm. On snow. And I remember the route marches, too, and the sore feet, and the spit and polish, and the standing to your beds daily, having your beds made up and all that sort of thing, inspection, daily inspection.
And these were in houses, I think you said, did they?
Yeah.
And where did you do your training? Was it in the streets or...?
Oh, yeah, in the streets and the local fields. Oh, yes.
The civilians around you whilst you were doing this training?
Well, living round there, but not taking, not worrying you or anything like that.
They didn't express any anger at the sergeant shouting at you and...
No,
actually,
we were very, very fortunate. Our sergeant we had was a gentleman, if you know what I mean. He wasn't one of those that shouted.
Do you remember his name?
I don't. We had a good corporal too, and I don't remember his name. He shouted a bit, but even then, they didn't shout. Some of the others in the other squads did, but he didn't. And we, of course, you always get a competition between the squads, who's going to be the best squad, and we turned out to be the best squad. They thought that we were mostly, I think, less hardened than the others for some reason or other. But we settled in more. I always remember the football. They were going to tan the hide off us at football, but we won the football competition.
What uniform did they give you when you joined?
Battle dress. We had the full uniform, battle dress, overcoat, all the webbing, rifles, everything. But how they were issued to us, I can't remember.
Basic drill, what were the initial stages of that? The first things they taught you?
Well, learning how to turn and march and salute and you know, all the regular doing this. Fortunately, having my boys' brigade training made it easier for me, you see. But some of them found it hard, two left feet or two right arms or something like that. It's surprising how some cannot march doing the, you know, doing. But there it is, it happens.
Was it done to numbers, the training?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I can see. One stop, two. That was a turn. One stop, two. And up two, three, down two, something like that. I can't remember it now.
From the turning drills and so, where did you move then? Was it weapons come into it?
Oh, weapon training, yes. We had weapon training and field training. That's learning to move, you know, on the floor and all that sort of thing. And I don't know whether we did a sort of courses there. I think we must have done. I don't remember it.
Kit inspections, were they regular?
Oh, daily, yes. You had kit inspections daily.
And you'd have to lay them out in a certain way,
yeah.
The military way.
Blankets all folded. And we were sleeping on beds, I think. I'm not sure. No, we weren't. We were sleeping on the floor with
Pallias,
yeah, straw pallias. We had to fill them ourselves, of course, from the doings of straw. And
was there anything to keep your equipment and uniforms in, and cupboards or anything?
No, not there.
So where did you basically keep
on your bed? On your bed. No, the whole of the time, apart from when I was at Octu, I was never at barracks or anything like that where we had somewhere to put everything. It was all put on your bed. Well, of course, you didn't have all that much, did you? It was all army stuff.
The usual routine for cleaning the room, keeping it clean? Did you
have
the rotors?
Rotors, yeah. Rotors for that, rotors for stoking, rotors for everything. And tin plates and tin mugs.
What was the food like?
I think, well, of course, I wasn't. I was one of those people that are down to earth food, you see, so I didn't find it too bad at all. Some might have complained, but I don't think I did. I was quite happy. I was all ready to eat. You were always hungry, you see. Because army food, you see, is breakfast, dinner, not lunch, dinner, tea, no supper. So you're always out hungry, looking for somewhere, usually, to get a sort of evening snack or something like that.
What might you get for breakfast?
Well, breakfast, you'd have porridge, followed by bacon and tomato, bacon and beans, or bacon and tomatoes, or sausage and egg, or something like that. Nothing. And then, of course, a bit of bread and butter, a couple of slices of bread.
What time would it be?
Oh, it varied. Rivale would be 6 o'clock, sometimes 5, depending on where you are. And breakfast would be 7, or even between 7 and 8 sometime.
During the course of the morning in your train, then, did you have a tea break of any kind? Or?
Oh, dear. I don't think so.
Lunch, dinner, as you say, what might you get for dinner?
Well, there again, I can't remember too much. It would be potatoes, of course, if they were peeled properly, potatoes, cabbage, some sort of meat. And there would be a sweet, usually duff of some sort, something like that, to fill up.
Between breakfast and lunch, usually was that your drill period?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Your drill periods, some would be in the... It's like a school program, in other words. You'd have certain periods for this. Certain periods you'd be sat in a class or whatever it is and be lectured to. Other times you'd be out in the field doing weapon or field training. Or another time it'd be drill, and another time you'd be lectured with things like mortar and other sorts of things that you require in the forces. It's such a long time ago, I can't remember it all.
Did you have gas precautions and gas training?
Oh, yes, that was the most important. We were issued with gas masks, the army gas masks, and you periodically have a check on gas masks by going into a gas filled room. That nobody really liked, because of course you had to take your gas mask out just before you came out. But
what gas did they use? I mean, if you had to take your gas mask off,
it wasn't. I couldn't tell you. It's mostly streaming eyes, that was all.
And you've mentioned drills and so on. Your weapon was the rifle, the Lee Enfield, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
What other weapons were you introduced to?
Bren gun, 2-inch mortar. Well, they were the only infantry ready. And the anti-tank, boys' anti-tank gun.
How did you like them?
Not really.
Dislike them?
Didn't like any of them, to be quite frank. But you had to get used to them.
Were they good weapons, though, in their way?
Oh, yes. I think so. I think they were good weapons. Of course, I know that eventually they improved on them. We had Sten guns as well afterwards, and there was the Piat anti-tank doings. Took place at the place with the boys, because the boys wouldn't pierce the German armour, and the Piat was used to throw a shell sort of thing.
Route marches, you mentioned. At what stage were you introduced to those?
all right at the beginning, more or less, because that was part of the fitness program.
Was it a gradual build-up in distance?
Oh, yes, yes. I think 6 miles were the first one we did, and then it gradually built up. And
did you carry anything with you on these route marches?
Oh, yes. Whether we carried them the first one or not, I don't know. But, oh, yes, you carried your always carried your rifle, and that never left you, your rifle and your webbing. And then eventually, of course, you'd build up. And, of course, steel helmet. You'd always get used to those. Then, of course, later on, you'd carry your gate coat in your pack and all that sort of thing. That was what was known as full pack.
Did you have a halt over a...
Oh, yes. 10 minutes every hour.
What did you do then for your 10 minutes?
Get on the ground and get your feet up. Let them cool off. No, have a smoke, too.